Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Well, welcome back to the March 22nd edition of FOJC Radio Church. We really are so thankful and so very, very grateful to each and every one of you that studies with us and lifts us up in prayer. And we just really love you so very, very much. Now, people that are familiar with Scripture will recognize immediately that what the Bible says of the false prophet, this has all happened before. And as I say, not many people are going to get this, because not very many people are going to figure out that it's the false prophet being spoken of in Daniel chapter 8. They usually has this as beast number one, the military political guy. But once we establish that, we immediately recognize, well, this has all happened before. Now, who else was it that ascended into heaven and wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God? And of course, this was Lucifer. And Lucifer is the type of the false prophet. And once, and another big thing here, most people won't get that either, because they cannot separate Lucifer from Satan in their mind. So they're not going to get this either. And whenever, and you know, if somebody thinks that Lucifer's Satan just because somebody told them that and they believed it and never questioned it, this isn't going to cause them to lose their soul. They're doing the best they can, hopefully. But when you don't understand these truths, these are important precepts that are going to lead you to higher truths. And this is just another good example of it. Without being able to differentiate Lucifer from Satan, the big picture of what's going on here in the ascent of the false prophet doesn't come clearly into view. But what I want to concentrate, and we'll have a lot more to say about that in next week or the week following, but what I want to look at is that which God has done in giving His people a way to combat this. And I want to go to John chapter 3, and I want to look at verse 12 and 13. And these are two of the most profound scriptures in the Word of God, right in the third chapter of John. John chapter 3 and verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And this is in our Lord's discourse with Nicodemus. And he was saying, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He was sent talking spiritual, Nicodemus, how can I go into my mother's womb? He was thinking natural. Jesus was talking spiritual. And now, this morning, I want to tell you about heavenly things. And I do want you to believe me. And I want us to lift our vision higher and get it off of this earthly plane and to see that which the Lord has done for us. Now, in verse 13, this is the most amazing scripture. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, Lucifer ascended into heaven, but he got smacked down real quick. He got smacked down and he got judged. It didn't work out real well for him. And neither will it work out real well for the false prophet either. And while they tried to ascend to heaven and failed, here our Lord says that he ascended into heaven, and he is now enthroned at the right hand of God. Now, just look at this scripture for just a moment, and just meditate it on this a little bit. And of course, Jesus is the Son of Man, but Jesus spoke of himself, of being on the earth and in heaven at the same time. Now, listen to this, and this is exactly what Jesus is saying, that he was on earth and in heaven at the same time. Let's read verse 13 again, John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, we're going to understand what that means, and we're going to understand what that means for us. Now, let's go back to Revelation 13. And let's look at Revelation chapter 13, and let's read verse 6. We just read from Revelation chapter 13 about the beast out of the sea, the military political leader, the beast out of the earth, the religious leader. One will be the false prophet, one will be one of the presidents of the United States. And I can say the same thing I said about Pope Francis, I'll say about Barack Obama. I don't know if he is the beast, but I think he wants to be. I tell you, it's just amazing what this guy's doing. Just absolutely amazing. It's just unbelievable as we see this unfold. But let's look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. This is speaking of the first beast. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And we've talked before how that we as God's end time remnant, though our feet are planted upon the earth, yet in our spirits we dwell in heaven. Because we come boldly before the throne of grace, and there at the right hand of the Father, we are seated with him in heavenly places. And this is what Jesus was saying, that even though he was here on earth, Jesus said, I only do those things that I see and hear my Father do. Though he was on earth, truly he was in heaven. And so is the end time remnant. Though we are on earth, we are heaven dwellers. Now, the antithesis of that is in Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the miracle, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, there's going to be two types of people, those that dwell in heaven and those that dwell on the earth. Now, if you think you're a Christian, but you're going to dwell in heaven, on the earth, and only approach things from this earthly concept, that is not going to get it. You will either be a heaven dweller or you will be an earth dweller. Now, let's go to Sister Donna's favorite scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And this is the explicit command this morning to each and every one that names the name of Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, what we're going to see as we study the ascent of the false prophet, and as we compare it with the previous ascent that was made by Lucifer, that where they are ascending to is the throne of God. Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He literally wanted to assault the throne of God. It says of the false prophet that he will even try to exalt himself to the prince of the host. This is literally what we're seeing right now. It's just absolutely amazing. But in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. There is only one place where we can defeat this evil, and that is seated with him in heavenly places. There is absolutely nothing else that will suffice to combat this evil. But what we will see is that in, you see, it's just like fighting. We fight from a position of victory. It's just like when you fight a battle. You don't fight in the valley. You get up on the mountaintop. And we are going to have to fight from that mountaintop position of victory. And I tell you what, I have just had such an exciting week here. I have just absolutely been experiencing an open heaven. And I'm going to be sharing with you some of the things I believe the Lord is sharing with me. But let me assure you this morning, we have nothing to be fearful of. We have nothing to be downtrodden about. We should be excited. And we shouldn't say that overconfidently, but our confidence is in the Lord because He is in control. Now, let's go to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And let's look at verse 31 and verse 32. And the scripture says here, canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? And these are the words of Jehovah unto Job, that at the end of Job's trial, the Lord revealed himself unto him and gave him a couple chapters of teaching. And Job figured the best thing for him to do would be to repent and go along with the big guy. So he done good and it all worked out well. But there's something amazing in this verse. And this verse is so... The book of Job was written before the flood of Noah. I can establish that beyond a shadow of doubt. It's antediluvian, before Noah's flood. Now, when it says here, the sweet influence of the Pleiades, this is a constellation known as the seven stars. The seven stars. And when the Pleiades rise, this is in the springtime. And the ancient astronomers and astrologers, they associated the rise of these seven stars with the sweet influence of the spring. Now, Orion is a star that's known as the giant. Ding, ding, ding. And the giant, when it would rise, it would be associated with the beginning of the winter season. And here the Lord is asking Job, can you bind and loose these forces? And Job couldn't do it. He didn't understand how to do it. But now Jesus says that we can do it. Now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. And I believe part of this is why I have just been absolutely, I can't exclaim it any other way. I would encourage you, pray today. Pray. Pray and seek God, because I just absolutely, you know, a lot of times you can have opposition and battles and it's rough to pray through. It's just wide open up there, folks. There's just an open heaven to approach into the most, the secret place of the Most High. Take some time and pray today and see what you sense in that regard. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. The times and the seasons were things that the people in Thessalonica understood because of their familiarity with paganism and also their familiarity with the teachings of Judaism. But there are times and seasons of the Lord. He has the times and the seasons of the Passover and the Pentecost in the spring and in the fall feast. They have, you know, we have the trumpets, tabernacles, and atonement. And there are also times of the evil one. And this is the vernal equinox and the winter solstice. So God has his times, and the devil has his times. And here again, people don't understand. They think when you talk about the pagan holidays that you're just riding some kind of a hobby horse. These things are extremely important in the concepts of spiritual warfare and the times of God and the times of Satan. Now, I want to read a scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. And you talk about static on the line. If you participate in these pagan times, you are going to get static on the line. And of course, most of them people, I don't think they try to do any serious spiritual warfare anyway, most of them. But if you are trying to really seek God and enter into those spiritual meat of God, that will absolutely misdirect you and mess you up. Now in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. And of course, there's an intimation there that there might be a time when you can't find him. So maybe you better seek him while you can. And there is a lot of scripture about people just sent away the day of grace, and they want to call on the Lord, but it's too late. Seek ye, and of course that's God's call, who thou's are not mine. I just preach it whosoever will to everybody. But seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And there's another intimation in the last part of that verse that there are times when God is closer than others. Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I can pray, and we make it a point to pray on Halloween. And we will pray on Easter and Christmas, and Easter, Christmas, and Halloween, these are the high satanic times. And I can be greatly blessed, and so can you, even on these times. But these are the times when the powers of darkness, because of the alignment of the heavens, that they are the strongest. And also there are times, and these are God's feast. In the spring, we got the Passover, Pentecost, then we've got in the fall, we've got trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot be greatly blessed of God anytime. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, but there are times and seasons. You know, the Apostle Paul said, of the times and seasons, brethren, I don't have to write to you because you know about it. And we need to know and understand that just like Satan is moving to enthrone his man, that God is moving also to establish the church and the remnant upon earth. So I would encourage you in this time as we approach the Passover, don't be discouraged about everything evil you see, but be encouraged and seek God, because God is truly opening up the heavens and He is giving us a place. He has seated us with Christ in heavenly places, and let me tell you what, we have a big God, so it's okay to pray big. I think a lot of times we just don't ask big enough, and God is omnipotent. He is the creator, and He will move heaven and earth on behalf of His peoples to establish His bride, to change the church from the church into the bride. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and a lot of people say, well, this is just a Jewish thing. That's just Old Testament. Well, let me tell you what, God set this in order before He ever called Abraham, and He did it a long time before He ever called Abraham. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. God established the heavenly bodies. They're not bad, they're good. God created them. And He established them for a specific purpose. And it is the perversion of these things by Satan that is being used by those that want to oppose God. Now, it's also very interesting that the word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that is translated season, is the Hebrew word moed. And this is the very same word that in Leviticus chapter 3 is translated the feast of God. So very much these feasts are for signs and for seasons. It's even the same Hebrew word. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, and now it starts getting real good. And you see here the Pleiades. Canst thou loose the sweet influence of the Pleiades? And the Pleiades were known as the seven stars. And the seven stars, and I think this is cool too, six of them were visible to the naked eye, but one of them was invisible. I like that. But in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, what are the seven stars and what are the significance of it? Canst thou loose the sweet influence of the Pleiades? Revelation 1 and 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, big doodly deal if the Pope wants to worship the devil and worship the host of heaven and associate it with all of these fallen powers. We have a God that is the creator of the universe, And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Canst thou loose the sweet influence of the Pleiades? Job didn't know, but Jesus does know. And he gives us the answer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And I'm jumping on my list a little there, Donna. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. And let's read here definitively what Jesus said. Jesus says, yes, absolutely, we can do it. Now, Matthew chapter 16, let's begin in verse 16. This is the great confession of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, at that moment, Simon became a heaven dweller instead of an earth dweller. You see, Simon's feet were on earth, but the Father in heaven was revealing unto him. Verse 18, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, but the rock of revelation, the church is built upon what the Father revealed from heaven. Jesus says, I don't do anything except what I see and hear my Father do. And Jesus said unto us, As my Father sent me, so send I you. And we are to be heaven dwellers just like Jesus was a heaven dweller. He was on earth and in heaven at the same time, according to the third chapter of John. And here, when Simon became a heaven dweller, Jesus said, Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what I'm going to build this church on. And in verse 18, And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because in the secret place of the Most High, when we are seated with Him in heavenly places, though Lucifer tried, he cannot ascend there. Though the false prophet will try, he cannot ascend there. There is perfect peace, perfect safety, perfect victory at the throne of God. And this is where we must fight from the throne. Now, look at verse 19. This is for the heaven dwellers. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be a heaven dweller. Now, verse 19, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Though your little feet are on earth, and you bind it here, it'll be bound in heaven if you're a heaven dweller. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, canst thou loose the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Yes, we can. We can loose the angels of the seven churches to move in a miraculous way on our behalf. And with what the battle we have to fight, we have to have the help of heaven. We have to put ourselves in a position where the Lord can help us. And that's what it's all about. We have to understand that this victory is not capable in and of ourselves, but if we position ourselves where the Lord can help us, He will give us the victory, and in an abundant way. And as I say, we serve a big God. Ask big. Pray some big prayers this week. In Psalm 103, let's read verse 19 through 21. And this is extremely important. Psalm 103, verse 9, is all the Word of God is. It says, Psalm 103, 19 and following, The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. That's what we need to understand, is that the throne of God rules over everything. In verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. When we align ourselves with the word of God, and we speak and teach and live the word correctly, this is just like saying, sick 'em to a dog to the angels of God. We will have the supernatural assistance from heaven. We will have that little help from the sanctuary that we are going to need, and we are going to be able to feel that anointing and that heavenly empowerment that's coming to us right from the throne of God. In verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. So you see, while Satan has a host of heaven, Jesus has a host of heaven also. And guess which host of heaven is going to win? Yeah, you got it. These guys that are aligning themselves with the Pope and with Obama's agenda, with the New World Order, they are on the wrong side. It might look like they got all the marbles right now, and in the view of the earth dwellers, they do, but let me tell you, they are on the wrong side of this fight. Now, in John chapter 15 and verse 7, and I think I'm going to attempt to close. Whenever I say I'm going to close after a scripture, it seems like I got to read two or three more. But we're going to gear down here. And boy, there's so many things, so many more things that we want to share here. We're going to get very, very specific on how we need to pray and address these fallen powers, because we literally have authority at the throne. We really do. We've got a seat at the table for this one, folks, and we need to realize it and start praying from the position of victory. John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. And we read in the 103rd Psalm how that the angels of God are activated by the word of God. Angels love good sound doctrine. They love it. Now, John chapter 15, verse 7, and this connects the idea of the word of God and prayer. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow. It's so important that we understand that the doctrine of Christ is our main anchor, our main motivation. And when we anchor ourselves in the doctrine of Christ and the work on the cross and the example of our Lord, we will see the revelation of God flow and flow and flow and open up to us. And words fail me to express the excitement that I feel and the victory that I feel in the Lord this morning, and the confidence that I feel that the captain of the Lord's host is indeed in charge this morning. But we are going to close out here in a word of prayer, and we've got much, much more. We're going to be going right on next week and maybe more to get this all to where we can really appreciate it and digest it. But for now, we're just going to close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for each and every one that's gathered this morning. Father, we just ask you to fill every hungry heart. And Lord, I just pray that we have a hunger like never before, a hunger for the Word of God, and a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, a hunger and a desire to seek your face and enter into the secret place of the Most High. Father, reveal unto your people this morning the exceeding power of your greatness and the marvelous plans that you have for your people. And Lord, we just give you the praise for everything good that happens. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And we will see you next week on FOJC Radio Church. God bless you all.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
us up to his side, and forever we will be his. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever forever to our God.
Network.